Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guest and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, you can send them to me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. And if you have any questions after the show, because you're listening at a later time and you would like to send me the questions to my guest, feel free to send them out to me and I'll be happy to forward it to him. Before I introduce my special guest for this evening, I wanted to make mention that our healing weekend is only a few months away. It's now going to be January in just a couple of weeks, and the healing weekend's in April. We still have room for a few more people. It's going to be in Orange County, California. It's going to be my best event to date. The guests are going to be amazing. The therapeutic sessions are going to be amazing. And once again, there's no cost for this. You only have to pay for your boarding and for your travel, and the cost of food is $75. That covers your lunch, dinner, breakfast, you know, for the hotel. It's just a wonderful opportunity to meet other women, to get the support you need, and nobody leaves the same way they come in. There are people there who are just starting on their journeys, other women there who are going through their journeys, and other women who have healed on their journeys, and they want to give back and they want to share. So these are the most wonderful women you will ever meet, and if you'd like to be one of them, all you have to do is go to my website at gayhusbands.com and click on the link for the healing weekend. This will be actually my last healing weekend out on the West Coast, and it might be my last healing weekend altogether. We'll see how my aging goes and how my other projects come along. But it's really important on this particular one. Once again, the lineup for the speakers and the healing sessions are just amazing. So write to me at bomk@aol.com or go to my website at gayhusbands.com and hit that link. So tonight, without further ado, for our holiday season, I'm my special guest, Dr. Brian Hooper. Brian, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
My pleasure to be with you, Bonnie. Thank you.
And, you know, Brian, this is a tough time of the year for a lot of people. Tonight was a tough night for me because my listeners know me and they know my story. So do you. You know, I lost both of my children, you know, a few years ago. And this is the last night of Hanukkah. And I haven't really celebrated Hanukkah since my children passed away because it was just too hard for me. Hanukkah is really a family holiday based on your children. But, you know, I skip most of my family events because it's just really hard for me to be happy when I don't have my children. And I know a lot of people face that time of year. But I decided to have a little get-together for my family anyway. And I'm really happy I did. You know, it's been a number of years since I've done anything, and I refuse all invitations with their families. But we had a small family gathering, and I'm so happy because it just worked out so nicely. But it still was painful because my children were missing. And I know that whether you're grieving for a family member, whether you're grieving for your children, whether you're grieving over losing a marriage that you had built up over the years in hopes that this is, was your life, you know, grieving is a very prominent thing during the month of December. So do you find that with the clients you work with, this is a hard month also?
Absolutely. There are triggers everywhere, and they're hard to anticipate. I mean, some we can anticipate, but others just sort of come up out of nowhere. So, yeah, it's a challenging time. And people need to be reminded that grief takes as long as it takes. We can't rush it. And when we think we're done with it, there'll be a reminder of it again. So I encourage people to really be kind and gentle to themselves in those difficult passages.
I think one of the triggers is, I know for me, and I'm Jewish, and I still have triggers at Christmas time, because even though I'm Jewish, you know, you grow up in a society where Christmas is part of your life, whether you are
cultural,
you know, Christian or not. And, of course, to people who are Jewish, many times it's just a holiday of good cheer and good spirit, so you partake in the activities. And I know that that music that keeps playing really triggers me, you know. Here's to you, a merry little Christmas. May your days be bright. You know, from now on, our troubles will be out of sight. You know, you have this optimism and you have this hope, or there's no place like home for the holidays, you know, that kind of a song. And when a lot of my women hear these songs, it doesn't make them feel any sense of calm. It makes them feel a very sharp pain that they're not going to be have that home that they had hoped for,
Exactly. It really reaches into that sense of loss and amplifies it.
Exactly. And also, I think because it's a cold time, you know, when it's summertime and you're out and you're about, but when you're cold and when it's snowing and when you're kind of stuck in, you know, the weather's gloomy on top of your life being gloomy, and you see other people all getting excited because it's Christmas and you don't have what they have, but you used to. You knew what it was like.
Yeah, you used to.
Now it's gone.
Right. And the other thing that's gone, the hopes for what you were looking forward to are also gone. You know, I mean, I'm thinking about people who they don't yet have grandchildren, and you know, the husband comes out, and they were, you know, the wife was so looking forward to all the activities that grandpa and grandma would do together, and now that's not going to be happening. You know, sure, they're going to maybe be sharing in part of that, but they're not going to be really doing it together the way that she thought that they would be, and that's hard.
The whole situation is hard, and I like to tell women that Brian has been a key component to helping me with men who are having issues on coming out to their wives, and, you know, ever since we met a number of years ago. And the reason why I love sending men to Brian is because of the fact of his integrity, that Brian really holds him responsible for any kind of responsibility in that marriage. And a lot of times, women don't understand this. You know, they think, well, I'm the enemy or Brian's the enemy, because we're urging their husbands to be honest with you, the wife. But the reality is you can't turn somebody gay. It's not like people were straight and coming to either one of us. When men come to us for help, you know, they knew that their lives were at a point where they just couldn't keep pretending anymore. And rather than destroying you, we encourage them to do the right thing, which is to tell you the truth. And when men come to, by the time men come to us, they don't have any doubts in their minds. They're not really questioning, this is what I am. They're questioning, do I have to stay like this? Or can I change back to the way I used to be? But there's no doubt in their minds, and we don't encourage them to be gay. We encourage them to accept themselves. Am I correct in saying that?
Absolutely. What I encourage is authenticity, you know. And they may not have language to put to it because, you know, they married their best friend, and maybe they had, in many cases, that's what they tell me, and I do believe them. And, you know, they had a baby or babies together, and so they don't know quite how to label themselves. And one of the ideas that I found helpful is to say, well, let's not worry about the label. Let's just recognize you're not straight. You're not straight. And, you know, and I say that to the women who sometimes consult me when I'm not working with their husbands, that they find me too. And I say, well, now listen, what did you sign up for? Did you sign up for straight or not straight?
I think,
and that for many people helps to clarify.
How about men who are struggling, Brian, and they tell you, well, I'm not quite sure what I am. You know, sometimes I have these fantasies, but I'm still love my wife and I love my family. You know, what? How do you advise them?
Well, it's a rare man that comes to me and says, well, I've only just had fantasies. Most of them have had some experiences by the time they find me. And what they're confused about is really what they're supposed to do now. And I say suppose, I really shouldn't say that. But what has real integrity to it, what's going to be for the good of everyone. And they're often afraid to tell their wives because they recognize that once they tell, then they are going to have to make some very important decisions. And so I help them take a look at what is your inner experience, and let's talk about that in ways that they've never talked with anyone about.
Right.
And when they
do
that, when they do that, you know, they begin to really own up to what their inner experience is, and there's something that's drawing them towards men that really isn't drawing them towards women. Otherwise, they'd be out there having affairs with women, but they're not doing that. You know, the guys
say,
well, I think
men
I might
that
be
say
bi.
It's not really cheating if I'm with, what about the men who tell you it's not really cheating if it's with a man?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I had somebody say that to me recently, and I just pause and say, okay, let's take a look at that. And before I can finish the sentence, he's saying, yeah, it really is, isn't it? You know, because it's, we cheat with our hearts first, and our bodies follow along.
So I don't know if our listeners all know, because we have a lot of new listeners, you know, from year to year.
Yeah,
and
right.
Brian Hooper is, you know, openly gay, and you have been for most of your life. You weren't married before because you yourself knew that it wasn't the right thing to do. I think a lot of women question me, how come some men always know and other men don't know? Like the ones who get married. They claim they don't know that they're gay when they get married. And then women start feeling, well, did I do something to turn them gay? They don't understand.
Let's deal with that issue first. And I want to make that really clear that there's nothing that the wife can do to turn the husband gay. That's just not how it happens. I think, like, the reason I had clarity was I kept saying, you know, I should be experiencing something inside that the other guys are experiencing, and I'm not. There's something missing. And sure, there was pressure to sort of fake it, and it would have been much easier, but there was something inside of me that had been taught from a very early age to do everything I could to have integrity. And it just, I recognized that I couldn't even deceive myself. And I recognized it would just be so wrong to try to trap a woman into what would simply maybe be for my good politically or economically, but ultimately would be disastrous relationally.
Right, because you're a pastor, and I think that pastors who get it's an expectation that a pastor is going to have a wife, and they're both going to do ministry together. Am I correct in saying that?
So yeah, that's the majority expectation. It used to be at the seminary that I went to, you couldn't be dating until you had graduated, but by the time you got to your first parish, you were supposed to be married. that got undone a long time ago. But the majority expectation is if you want a decent-sized parish, you're going to be a married man in most denominations if they don't allow gay folks in it. For myself, I knew and had committed to living with the truth by the time I got in college. So fortunately, I didn't have to struggle with that once I got ordained.
Mm-hmm. Did your church struggle with it because you were a gay?
The denomination I was first ordained in, well, first of all, I'm a Lutheran, and there were no denominations when I was first ordained where gay folks were welcome. I had to fly under the radar and just be very quiet about it. And that was not easy to do. It felt in some ways disingenuous, and I never was comfortable with it. Later, one of the other denominations that I'm part of now decided to accept gay and lesbian people. So when that opportunity arose for me to switch, I did. And it's been very good for me and for the people that I get to serve.
That is very lucky for them. I wanted to ask you that since, you know, you were young and you came out, you know, pretty much to yourself at least, you know, before you became 20, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And your
yes,
teens.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah, being in high school. Yeah, I remember right where I was when I said to myself, you're gay. I mean, I said it like out loud and it was shocking. But it's like looking in the mirror and saying, this is who you are. You really need to own that. And so when you ask me why do some men accept and others don't, it takes a lot of courage to look in the mirror and say it out loud. And it scares people to do that, especially if they come from a family where nobody is going to accept them. So they conform and they stuff it down and they do what they think is the right thing. And in most cases, they think it's just a passing kind of thing. It's going to go away once they're married. They get taught that in many cases in their religion and they believe it and they go into it. Really, most do in good faith, but then it doesn't work. They can only deny it so long. And that's when they start acting out on the side and they're leading a double life. And they get to midlife and they go, I can't do this anymore. I got to figure something out. Or they get caught.
Do you think most people are influenced by their religion, being told that, you know, this kind of behavior is sinful? Because I have
I think
a lot
those
of that
are part
them.
Of, yeah, if it's part of their teaching of their religion, yes. They are highly influenced by that if they're practicing that religion, absolutely.
Especially if they come from a strict family where family is totally non-accepting. I think that drove a lot of men onto the over the edge also, hoping that against hope. You know, I think that Brian and I both agree with the fact that almost all of these men go into these marriages not to trap a woman into them. Their intentions are good. They're hoping that they can be a good husband. They want to be straight. They don't want to be gay. And it's not like they're trying to trick you. They're trying to trick themselves into saying
they marry themselves.
Right? And they're just hoping against hope that loving you. And some men who are gay can perform with women in the earlier years, although not all men can. Isn't that true?
Right.
I don't think every gay man can perform with a woman.
No, I don't think so either. But I think the ones who that do get married, at least initially, they do. Now, I've had some that have said to me, ugh, the marriage, the wedding night was awful, and there's not been much since. But most that I've encountered who have been married have been able to perform. They've gotten some pleasure simply because of physical stimulation, and they think that's about as good as it's going to get. And they may have children, but they get curious later and begin to experiment, and they recognize there's a difference in their experience between being with a man and being with a woman. Because I will ask them straight up. I say, in which do you feel the most yourself? And 9 times out of 10, they will say, well, I feel most myself with a man. All right. Well, there you go.
I wanted to ask you your opinion when it comes to the issue of bisexuality. The men that I work with who come to me who claim that they're bisexual, and I'm not negating that there could be somebody bisexual. I certainly haven't met every bisexual man in the world by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
But most of the men who come to me who claim to be bisexual, they have this misconception that if they're married to a woman, but they're just having sex with a man, that means bisexual. And to me, they really misunderstand that term. I mean, they're using it as a way out of saying that they're gay, because it still sounds better bisexual than it does to say that I'm gay. Once you say I'm gay,
I'm
there's no turning back. Yeah, exactly. I'm half straight, half not.
I'm half straight. Yeah.
Right, that's kind of what it's saying.
Yeah, no.
And yet, if they were truly bisexual, wouldn't they be faithful in a marriage? Wouldn't that be good enough?
Well, or you're asking a bisexual person if there is such a thing, and I believe that there is. I, you know, met a couple people who I, you know, have to believe what they tell me. But there's part of them that's not getting a perceived need met. My thing would be, if you're bisexual, then be honest about that with the person you say you want to marry and decide if you want to live exclusively a monogamous relationship or not. But don't say, well, I'm bisexual, but I'm going to marry somebody and then I'm going to get the other side of my needs met elsewhere. That just is not fair to the person you're marrying. So
and also another point you brought up to me is that many of these guys, if they claim they're bisexual, then why are they just looking at gay porn and not straight porn?
Right.
Or why
are
they dating men on the side and not women?
I just raised that with somebody very recently. I said, so are you out there hooking up with women as well? Oh, no. I get your point, he said. Right. But
I've had them
like
tell me, well,
saying
they don't
earlier,
hook up with women because that's cheating. And this way it's not cheating, so that's why they're with men.
Well, as you know, we cheat with our hearts as well as with our bodies. So, but the reality is, if, you know, I would ask them, so if your wife knew about this, how would she feel about it? Well, they know the answer to that question. They're not going to be happy. It's not what the wife signed up for. Okay, well, then it lacks integrity.
I guess they don't all like hearing that, right?
No. By the time they find me, they're usually so conflicted between what they experience inside and the situation in which they find themselves, and they are just, in most cases, lacking at that point the clarity to have the courage to move forward and tell their spouse. So we have to look at, well, what's the fear all about? And what's going to happen if you continue to live this conflicted lifestyle? Is it going to make the marriage any better? Is it going to keep you from, continuing to be getting something on the side? And they will look at me and say, no, it's not going to change anything. Okay, well, it's that conflict that brought you here. Do you want to live with that conflict the rest of your life? Well, no, not really, and it's really not fair. Exactly, that's right. Let's talk about how you can address it straight up, out in the open, and do the loving thing for everybody involved. I mean, I've said to these men and countless times, doesn't your wife deserve somebody who wants to be physically, sexually, and emotionally involved with her? Doesn't she deserve that?
And, what do they say to you?
I have not yet had one say to me, no, she doesn't. They've all said yes. Since I've been here in practice in Tennessee, which is 2011, I've only had one man who dropped out early on seeing me for therapy because he just didn't want to live with that level of honesty. Didn't want to take the steps. All the others have taken the steps to come clean and move on.
I know this is a bad question to ask you publicly, but I'll ask anyway. Do most of the men who come to you who are ready to come out, have they already met somebody else or they're out there already doing things?
Oh, yeah. I can't think of... Can I think of one person who has said... Well, I'm thinking about it. I think that they've all been either experimenting or they've got a boyfriend already. One or the other. Yeah. I think there was, maybe somebody who came just thinking about it, but the vast majority, really, yeah, they've all been experimenting and or they have a boyfriend.
Uh-huh. I think that's what women have to understand, that by the time their husbands come to them, if they do, and tell them that they think they have this issue, it's not like they just think it. It's usually because they've been seeing somebody who's pressuring them into telling, or because they finally realize that they can't keep hiding and leading the secret life because you're already suspicious something's wrong. And it's just too hard to keep lying about it because they've now really accepted who they are. So a lot of women have this false hope, well, I can live with this. Like I was one of those women who made up conditions for my ex-husband that, okay, well, I'll tell you what. If once every 6 months you have to go out and do something with a consenting adult and I don't have to ever find out about it, and it's once every 6 months, I guess I can live with that. And that's how stupid I was back in those days because I thought I can sit and bargain here and make up terms for his homosexuality and that would be good enough for him. But he only looked at it as an opening. Because once I gave a little permission, then it was like an open-door policy for him to do whatever he wanted. Because he knew that eventually if I wanted to not leave that marriage, that I would just learn to accept things. And I think a lot of women feel that they can live with certain things, which is why they don't necessarily want to. Some women automatically just say, this is it. I am not living with this. I'm making arrangements, or you leave the house, or we're going to see a lawyer. But the majority of women, I think, well, maybe this will change. Maybe if I do this better, I do that better, that'll stop thinking about it. Like I used to think that too. you know, maybe if I could get him, you know, if I'm more supportive, if I'm not this, I'm not that. You know, I kept trying to change myself so he would not think so much about it. Like, he wanted a son. He was desperate to have a son. I said, okay, let's have another baby. You know, I had a baby at home, and now he wanted another one because he wanted a son to carry on his name for whatever reason. So I thought, okay, let me have another baby. That maybe that will change who he is. If he has a son, maybe that's mm-hmm. what his focus will be. But I didn't understand homosexuality, and that's the problem. I think a lot of our women don't understand it. And how can we understand it when the men themselves don't even understand it? Is that correct?
Yeah, right, right. That's right. Yep, exactly.
And especially some of them leave. They meet somebody, they fall in love, or they fall in lust, whatever it is. And they say, look, you know, I'm sorry I'm leaving, but I have to follow my, you know, dream or live my authentic life. They meet a guy, you know, the first guy out, who they're so madly and gaga with. And then all of a sudden, you know, things turn around and the guy leaves. And they come running home to that blanket of security saying, I know I can change. Do you hear that happening?
I haven't had that experience as much as you have. I have seen women who have said, whatever you do, don't leave me. We'll figure out a plan. You can go out and get it. You know, but that doesn't end up really being satisfying for either person.
Uh-huh. I agree with
you.
I
mean, people can do what they want to do. I'm not here to be the morals police. Okay. They can do what they want to do, but honestly, I haven't heard of anyone for whom that was really satisfactory.
I think sometimes people do it in life when they're older because they feel like they're older now and nothing else is going to be happening. And, you know, for financial reasons, they have too much property together, business. So they'll just stay together and he'll go his way, I'll go my way. I mean, I've had a number of women like that. I never quite get it because to me, maybe because I didn't have $1 million when I was, you know, married. But to me, no money is worth being unhappy over. I'm funny that way.
Right.
You know, I'd rather have nothing, and I've done that too.
I worked with an executive type, and that's all I'll say, looked with his wife at a legal arrangement where he would keep things on the down low and, she would be financially secure and free to do what she wanted to do and all would look nice on the outside. It's like, well, if y'all want to live with that, that's your business, not mine. I can't imagine living that way, but then, you know.
There's different strokes for different folks.
That's what they say.
Some people just rather have the money and the security than they. I mean, to them, that's what's primarily important. And I respect that. I mean, it's not me, but I understand if it's you. I mean, you know, I'm not saying my way is the only way or my way is the only right way.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that my way is the right way for about 90% of women who come to me, because otherwise they don't have to come to me. You know, they're suffering and they're in pain and they're looking how to heal and how not to feel so broken over this, which leads me back to the time now, that season where people really are going to be hit. And, you know, I used to think, well, here's some good advice. Make new traditions. You know what? That's not the answer for everybody either. You know, people don't want to make new traditions right now. They want their old traditions back and they can't have them. So, you know, making yourself feel better because you have to do something else. I mean, you are going to have to do something else. But I think just saying to somebody, well, make new traditions, it's kind of trivializing it. And women kind of resent that when you say that to them. So what other things can you
I mean, there comes a there comes a time when people are ready to do that, and then they need to do that. But they might if the husband has moved out and moved on, maybe there's an old tradition that they can do with their kids, and maybe one of their best friends or their best friend and her family might come over for part of that tradition. Do what you need to do to take care of yourself. Do things that are comforting for you. And then you've got to feel your feelings. You know, you can't stuff them. You have to feel them. If you need to cry, then weep and cry and mourn. The body needs to get that out. It's part of the healing of the trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's really true. There's no way to fast, to quick fast, you know, quick track that. You just have to go through it,
no.
Right?
Right. You can't just put a happy face on it. You know, it doesn't work that way. There will come a time when people are ready to make new traditions or to get out of town or to take a vacation during the holidays instead.
Absolutely.
But you can't force that. You can't force that.
Mm-hmm. And I think especially in the early years, that first year that, you know, you're away from your, you know, from the situation, or the first year of the family breakup, that's usually the hardest time that people have, because all the, and especially like men say, well, I'm not going to tell anybody until after Christmas. And you know what?
Right.
I say, okay, I think that's fine. Because the worst thing is to find out right before a holiday, because that holiday will never be something you celebrate again.
Right, right. Get through
it. It's almost like
it,
my son passed away on Thanksgiving week. Yeah, my son died Thanksgiving week, and I haven't been able to celebrate Thanksgiving since he died. That was his favorite meal of the year, his favorite holiday. And nothing's been the same for me. So I think that's good advice. I tell men, wait until, you know, after January 1st. You know, you waited this long. You don't have to tell your wife right before Christmas, you know, and take that holiday and just ruin it. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the same for, and if, you know, if the wife finds out before the holidays and their kids involved, then it's okay to wait until after the holiday and together tell the kids what your decision is and what you're doing. You know, one of the things that occurs to me, Bonnie, is that the men, when they come out, they've got something now that, you know, they're looking forward to. They're looking forward to a new way of living in the world. And in many cases, if they already have somebody, then they're looking forward to celebrating things with that somebody. But they're the wife is there without, you know, without anybody, and holding together, you know, a shattered future that's not going to be playing out the way she thought it was going to be playing out. And that has to be, it's not just the loss of the relationship right now, it's the loss of what had been hoped for as well. And that makes it doubly hard, I think.
I think what it comes down to is that while one has been grieving for years because he couldn't be who he is, and now he's coming to the point where he's being honest about it, and he's involved with somebody he's really in lust or in love with, and his life is just starting, so he's rejoicing. The wife, on the other hand, who thought she had a good marriage, who was hoping that this marriage was her only marriage, who knew there were some problems but thought this is what marriage was about, but she deeply loved her husband anyway, and thought they had a pretty good marriage, and all of a sudden now she's told, guess what, it's not there anymore. Her grieving's just beginning while his is ended, and now he's out there celebrating. So there's a real disconnect, you know, as far as a lot of these men don't understand it. And I know that we both tell them that, look, you had your whole life to deal with this. You know, you fought it every day, and you didn't understand it yourself, and it took you years to untangle this. And you expect in a week or two that your wife is going to say, okay, honey, that's fine. Or he gets upset because you're not being supportive of him when he thought you're the kind of woman who would be supportive of him. And yet it's not that you're not being supportive of him. It's the fact that you're burning inside and you're so hurt inside. And you can't differentiate from reality, like what was real, what wasn't real. When women ask you that question, what do you tell them? You know, about what is real and what wasn't real.
Oh, you know, remember that old Memorex TV commercial for Memorex cassette tapes where they play it back and there's an opera singer that sings and the glass shatters And then they ask the question, was it real or was it Memorex?
Right.
And I tell women, that's the experience you're having. It's very confusing. They sometimes question their own, kind of their own sanity. It's like, no, you didn't miss anything. There were moments that he was experiencing as real, in because he too was sharing. I mean, he was having some denial, and there may have been things that were genuinely thoughtful and kind, and but at the same time, he's living an inauthentic life through the whole thing. So he's faking it the best he can and may not even be realizing the truth yet. Does that make sense? Do you follow me?
It does. And maybe that can be clarified a little bit by this next question. Can you talk a little bit to the women about the understanding of compartmentalization? Because I think a lot of these men are able to live compartmentalized, you know, living two lives, that you have to have some ability to juggle on both ends. Is that right?
It's the same thing that men who are only attracted to women do when they have a mistress on the side, you know? And so, you know, what the wife doesn't know won't hurt her. And as long as she doesn't know, it can't be wrong because she doesn't know and it's not hurting her. I mean, it's sort of a circular reason there. And men who are involved with men as well as their wife, that's often the case, what's going on. And they may justify it as well. I'm just trying to get clarity about what's really going on inside. And, you know, that just begins to stretch out and turn into a relationship with somebody. And then they find themselves caught. And it's very scary then to confront the reality, so they just keep it compartmentalized. Compartmentalization is a very basic psychological defense that people use in order to hold themselves together. And it works for a while until something gets out of control, until the lover says, I want more of you than just, you know, twice a month on Thursdays when you say you're with the bowling league or whatever, you know, or something other than an afternoon rendezvous. And then it's hard to keep the compartmentalization going.
I think that every day that they live a life where you're lying about who you are, especially to yourself, has to be very difficult, because you just it's different to me. You know, sexuality and infidelity are two really separate issues. Because as you mentioned, you know, people are unfaithful. You can be straight and have, you know, a relationship going on. But when you're gay, it's not just that you're having a relationship going on. There's other issues involved, too. For instance, that you feel as if you're being trapped in your marriage. Right?
Right. And your whole identity is being questioned.
Exactly.
If you're being with a man and you are in a marriage with a woman. The other thing is, I would say that, you know, the longer people practice compartmentalization or rationalization of something, the more the conscience, in a sense, gets habituated to it. We used to say the conscience gets seared. In other words, we lose our sense of conscience. We get habituated to something. And so it becomes easy to excuse ourselves. And that happens for straight men with a mistress, and it happens for gay men and a man on the side.
At first, they
may
unusual.
Feel a little guilt, and then they get used to it. Go ahead.
I think a lot of the men that are women who are part of our networks, you know, have husbands who have narcissistic tendencies and traits. And I think a lot of that is because they focus on themselves, because they're living a life that's not authentic. So it's always a matter of having to control everything because they're afraid their secret's going to get out. That, you know, it's all about them because, you know, they're trying to pull off something that they're not suited for, or they think that they're pretending. And that's why a lot of times when women, you know, when the truth, you know, when women leave the marriage and somebody says, you couldn't tell your husband was gay. We knew he was gay all along. And that's like a double blow to you. It's like, first, how stupid could I be that other people know? And, you know, you just feel that double whammy on top of it. They know that you didn't know. So they look at you like you're stupid or you're making it up or they don't believe you anyway. But I think that men who have to keep living this lie, that lying is part of what they're doing on a daily basis. It's unlike, let's say, another affair that you're having with someone. That could be, you know, a temporary thing. It could be a longer-term thing. But you're not living a lie normally on the other parts of your life. But when you're living a life about who you are, you know, with your sexuality, I think that, you know, you're always looking over your shoulder, wondering who's going to know and who's going to catch you. I think you do focus more on yourself. And I think you do try to control the environment more. I know a number of our women, including me, had ex-husbands or husbands who were very controlling, like they don't want you talking to other people. They don't want you going to a therapist. They don't want you looking for help. You know, they're afraid that somebody's going to recognize what the problem is and tell you or confirm with you. And so they try to isolate. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And you mentioned narcissism. And at the root of that, there's a lack of true self-acceptance and self-love. And so there's always the attempt to try to make a super impression, have attitudes of entitlement, sort of a grandiosity that comes with that, where one feels very much entitled. So when one feels entitled, that also makes it very easy to rationalize decisions that affect other people.
I think a lot of women have more trouble with this kind of marriage, Brian, and that's certainly, look, I'm being honest with you, almost all the women I've ever met through my travels, all the tens of thousands, over 100,000 women, were very pro-gay prior to their marriage, which I think was one of the issues why their, you know, husbands were attracted to them, because they felt this safety comfort zone. So it's not about, you know, it's not about gay, but it's very different when it comes into your marriage. And things that may not have bothered you before all of a sudden bother you now. And it's not like you're homophobic, because you were always accepting homosexuality until it came into your marriage. Now that it's in your marriage and it's destroying it, and now that you have to look at, you know, your husband or ex-husband's going to have boyfriends, a lot of times that imagery is very hard on women, you know, seeing their husband in the arms of another man. And I know it's hard when you think about your husband being in the arms of another woman, but that's the way, the natural course of life for straight people. You know, you hate it, but you have to learn to expect it. But just the visual effects of seeing your husband with another man, all of a sudden, somebody who's not homophobic in the least is very uncomfortable with it. Do you think that's natural?
Well, I can understand the aversion to that because of the sense of betrayal that comes up with the thought of he is with somebody else, and there's nothing I can do about that because I can't turn myself into a man, the wife says, to get him back. And the thought that, you know, the intimacy that they shared together is now, that kind of intimacy is being shared with a man. I can understand how that's very, very difficult, even for an accepting person. Them probably, now you tell me, would the same women say to you, I can accept other men being gay. It's my husband I can't accept being gay. That's the hard part.
Oh, yeah, they don't care about other people. They just care about, you know, they just don't look at their own situation and how they've been betrayed and lied to.
Right.
A lot of them come up, about 20% of our women have sexually transmitted diseases from their gay husbands, you know, because their husbands, you know, weren't doing safe sex. You know, I have a number of women who have HIV, who had AIDS and became HIV. In the past, I had a number of women who died from AIDS. So it's not just a matter of the, you know, there's so many issues that we deal with that other straight marriages don't deal with. And especially, you know, when it comes to the children, it's not like just, oh, your dad and I are splitting up because, you know, we're going in different directions. No, your dad and I are splitting up because your dad is gay. So now the children have to first deal with that and understanding what that even means, you know, depending on their age. And, you know, I always tell women, honesty is definitely the best policy when it comes to the children, because the children know something is wrong in you. Right,
and I tell them, listen, the first thing you got to do is make sure the kids know that this has nothing to do with them. The second thing you need to do is make sure that they know that you will always love them. The third thing you need to do is to try to keep their world as put together, pulled together as you possibly can.
And I think that's, you know, really important advice.
And that means that the father and the mother have to cooperate on that as well to make that happen to the best of their ability. And that's not always easy.
Would it be unreasonable for a woman to say to her husband, you know, you're starting your new life, you have a boyfriend, but I don't want the kids, you know, in the first 6 months or a year to have to be around you and your boyfriend, you know? It's a matter that a lot of times these guys, you know, in their early stages, they come and go with boyfriends. The kids get confused. The kids really need the quality time from their father who's left the marriage. I mean, would it be unreasonable to say that, you know, spend quality time with the kid by yourself until you're settled in your new relationship for a while?
Yeah, I'm thinking of one. I'm thinking of one client I had who really regretted introducing his kids to his very new boyfriend, who he had fallen in love with and thought he was going to spend the rest of his life with. And then that just didn't work out. So my counsel, it doesn't matter straight or gay, I would say, listen, y'all don't be introducing kids to new person in your life until you're well underway and you've got a commitment to moving forward. At least do the best you can with that. It's dicey territory. You know, I don't want to make a hard and fast rule, but the last thing kids need is to attach to another adult who then is ripped out of their life. It's really not fair to the kids.
But also I think that it's so hard for children when parents split up that the father should just really dedicate some extra time to that kid, because most of the time the kid is with the mother. Would that be fair to say that?
Yeah, and I would say that just to, you know, to a straight man as well. Make sure that you don't make your kid a, you know, secondary priority. Make them a primary priority. Absolutely. Because it's an adjustment for the kids. Absolutely.
I know. Here they lose the family unit. They're losing a parent in the household. And some kids, you know, are very close with their dads. And now all of a sudden, dad's not only leaving, dad's also gay. Dad has a boyfriend. Where does that leave me?
Yeah, and
a lot of times, guys, when they first start out, I'm just telling you now, they are not responsible. You know, they're off in their new world. Yeah. They feel they've been in prison all these years, and now they're busting loose, and they're not looking back. You know, they're not thinking about what my children need. They're thinking about what they need. I think it's a lot.
Yeah. No, kids, I personally believe children need to be a priority in the lives of the people who have brought them into the world.
And what do you tell children that say, my dad is gay, does that mean I'm going to be gay?
No, it doesn't mean you're going to be gay. It doesn't mean that you're going to be straight if you have two straight parents. You know, I think we need to raise kids just noticing what they bring forth, accepting that, affirming that, answering their questions about themselves, honestly, but no, that's not how we may or may not be gay or straight if we have gay or straight parents.
Right. I mean, it doesn't mean because you have a gay parent that you're going to be gay, but it does suggest that there's always a possibility. So you have to be open to that
but
also. And like your husband who couldn't live with him.
Right. And both of my parents were straight. No question about it. And I'm gay. So there we go. We don't know for sure.
And I guess the last topic I'd like to tackle with you, because I can't believe how fast this hour always goes with you. What about when the mother wants, the parents decided they're going to split, and of course it's because the husband is gay, but he doesn't want to tell the children why they're splitting, just as they had differences. I don't think that's fair to the wife.
And I don't think it's fair to the kids either.
Exactly.
I think the truth is always the best option. And we tell kids in ways that are age appropriate. But kids are being exposed to, gay and lesbian folks earlier and earlier. They know what that means. Most of them, unless they've been taught it's awful, don't have a problem with it. Because they say, these two people are in a relationship with each other, and that's all they really think. So it depends on the environment the kids have been raised in, but either way, that they do need to know.
See, my thought
and
on
it's
that
not
is
fair
that
to the wife, because I tell men, listen, once your wife knows, it's her story. She can tell whoever she wants to, and she deserves to, because it's her story. And I don't believe in the no talk rule, because that that brings sickness into individuals and into family systems.
I'm so glad you said that. But what I was going to say is, I think that if the longer we keep homosexuality a secret, the worse it is for people ever understanding the concept that it's okay to be gay.
Right. And
secrets are kept when something's wrong or something's rotten. You don't want people to know. But if we're ever going to have gay acceptance, then people have to stop keeping this a secret and say, look, I'm really sorry. I didn't know at the time. I really didn't. I was hoping against hope. Even if I had attractions, I didn't understand it. Now I understand it. This is who I am. This is not going to change. This is who I'll always be. I have to learn to accept it, so forgive me for not telling you sooner, but this is what the truth is. I think people can deal with the
truth,
but it's the constant lies that they can't live with, and the secrets, and, the gaslighting, or I call it gay lighting, that, these men do to their wives, saying, you're imagining it, or if they have a sexually transmitted disease, well, you must have been out there cheating. And these women would never think to cheat. It wasn't them. It was the husband. So I think these are where the problems come up, with the lack of integrity, as you always put it, and the lack of honesty, where if men could just have that integrity, it would be a whole new, different ball game. Anyway, Ryan, unfortunately our time is over. And thank you so much, as always, for being such an inspiration to our women, to me, and trying to always work these problems out. And if women, if you have husbands who need help, who are having a hard time coming to them, terms with themselves, you can have them write to Dr. Hooper. I put his website up on our announcement here, drbrianhooper.com. And he'll be more than happy to get back to you and help your husband, help you if you would like it. Dr. Hooper can work with you from anywhere in the country as long as you have a telephone. And he's more than happy to help. Right, Brian?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Brian, I want to wish
you a wonderful
holiday.
Well, it's been a privilege chatting
holiday.
With you again. Thank you. I wish you a good holiday season as well, and a good new year, my friend.
Thank you. All right. I love you.
All right.
And I'll be talking to you in the
love
new
you.
Year. And to all our listeners,
all right.
Have a wonderful week. All right. Good night, everyone.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Good night.